Hello, I'm Michael Hintz with another Table Talk on Vision Australia Radio, the home of lifestyle radio. And it's hello from my technical assistant, the peripatetic Mark Redoubt. By the way, it was Australian Bacon Week recently, and who doesn't love bacon and eggs for brekkie? There's something irresistible about the aroma of bacon sizzling in the pan first thing in the morning. More so if it's homegrown Australian-produced bacon. Unfortunately, many of us may not be aware that, due to lax and misleading labelling, that much of the bacon we buy that's marked Made in Australia is anything but. Made in Australia does not mean the bacon product is made from Australian-grown pork, only that it's been manufactured here. For example, countries like Denmark and the US have highly subsidised agricultural industries, and as such are able to export frozen product in enormous amounts, destined for small goods manufacturing. Over 2 million kilograms of foreign pig meat, that's worth over $8 million worth, arrives in Australia every week. This translates into 65% of bacon, ham and small goods sold in Australia. That's made from imported pork. This pork, imported pork, is frozen, thawed out and then manufactured into bacon in Australia. The only way to be really sure you're buying bacon, or indeed any type of small good product made using Australian pork, is to look for the pink Australian pork mark as your guarantee of Australian origin. Tonight's guests are Walter and Dorota Trupp, owners of the Trupp Cooking School, just a stone's throw from Paran Market in Melbourne. Walter is an experienced chef and Dorota, a nutritionist, food photographer and environmentalist. The Trupp Cooking School is rapidly developing a reputation as one of Melbourne's better culinary destinations for those who are keen to learn the art of cooking, eating and living well in a professional yet relaxed, fun environment. Also, they recently launched a cookbook with a difference called Trupp's Whole Food Kitchen, featuring deliciously yummy, that's a bit of a tautology, but still, we can cope with it at this hour of the evening, recipes based on sound nutritional research and using clean, whole and organic foods to promote good health and well-being. And that's no mean feat in the burgeoning, competitive and somewhat cluttered, crowded cookbook market. Trupp's Whole Food Kitchen claims to enable those who cook from it to incorporate good food simply and easily into their everyday lives, a very important point, and get them on the way to feeling healthier. Gee, I'd like to feel healthier. Good evening, Walter and Dorota, and welcome to Table Talk.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Firstly, Walter, among other things, I believe you once worked at Michel Roux's three-star Michelin Waterside Inn in the UK and locally at Langton's Restaurant and Wine Bar.
Yeah. Originally from Austria, and after I moved to England, I worked first for a year at the Waterside Inn, but I had the reason for it to learn a bit more English, but since all the chefs there were French,
yes,
I didn't learn much English. So.
And so what did you argue in? When you threw knives and pots, did you argue in what language?
I think it was a little bit of everything.
A little bit of, oh, right. Yep.
After approximately a year, I moved to London and became an executive head chef for the three Michelin-starred chef Marco Pierre-White.
Yes.
And from there on, I ended up in Melbourne through a contact of a friend of mine.
Yes. Now, an executive chef, for those that don't understand, that's someone who runs the whole kitchen.
The ones in that case, like in Europe, you would be even in charge of several kitchens.
Yes.
So in that case over there, I looked after three restaurants.
Right. So you have to be not only a good cook, but a good manager and a good at managing and planning your time.
Good manager and a good motivator.
A good motivator.
Yeah.
Right. And what did you do before you became a chef? Aside from cooking, what else are you passionate about and what motivates you to continue doing what you're doing?
I became a chef at the age of 14. Which in these days was very common in Austria. Apart from cooking, I really love food and its history, especially what we made out of it, especially since industrialization. Now, my main motivation today is natural foods and educating people together with my wife about the benefits of whole foods and the hidden dangers of processed foods and food additives.
Yes, now you had as three chef's hats at the prestigious French, or in the prestigious French restaurant guide, Goûter Milieu, at the age of just 25, becoming the youngest chef worldwide at the time to achieve such a high distinction. Was it even harder maintaining that rating than it was getting it?
Look, when it all happened, I was very young, and you know how it is when you're young, you don't worry about things like that too much. So
I've forgotten what it's like to be young, but thank you for the...
Look, I worked extremely hard, I admit that, and I constantly tried to improve my cooking, my wine cellar, the bedrooms, and whatever else that came with it. I didn't feel that sort of pressure, but I think these days I probably would think very much, very different about it.
Mm-hmm. And why did you establish your cooking school in the first place?
Why did I establish a cooking school? Mm-hmm. Well, back in Austria, mm-hmm. back in Austria was just that sort of thing. I had a really small restaurant. My restaurant was really small, and I, you know, bought all the foods from farmers, and sourced everything locally, and it was quite a romantic way of running a restaurant. Now, these days, restaurants are not like that often anymore. So to have the cooking school and, you know, cook in beautiful copper pots and licorice pans and go over to the market and do some shopping, that's all very romantic, and I really love doing that. And with the cooking school, you know, I can do that again, and I can share that with other people who have the same passion.
Right, right. Does anyone ever get your name mixed up with Trump?
Yes, all the time.
That must annoy you, mustn't it?
We hope it will improve with the book publication.
Good. Now, Dorota, tell us about your background as a nutritionist, food photographer, and environmentalist.
I'm a very passionate nutritionist. I always mm-hmm. loved food. Among other interests I have, food with all the healing properties, and it's wonderful topic to study and discover. I have completed a Bachelor of Health Science, majoring in nutritional medicine in Endeavour College of Natural Medicine in Melbourne. I had run my own practice in East Melbourne prior to opening Trap Cooking School. Mm-hmm. Back in Poland, though, I have completed Diploma of Environmental Protection, which is another passion of mine. My love for a clean environment reaches back to my childhood in Polish farm. I was one of those kids who loved outdoors, kissed frogs, and cried when seeing injured animals on the side of the road.
Kissed frogs?
Yes. How much I loved the environment.
Right.
I just always cared a lot about environment, so eventually ended up going that direction in my education.
Yes. Now, when you kissed the frog, did the frog turn into a prince?
I tried very hard, but never.
Never. And you've ended up with Walter instead.
Yes.
Right.
How lucky.
Now, how did you two first meet? And Dorota, what part did you play in setting up the cooking school?
We first met in England.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked together for a brief time, mm-hmm. and that was about 11 years ago. We got married a few months after. That was a real love.
Quick decision.
Yes. We believe really that if we want to change someone's diet for the better, mm-hmm. the best way to do it is to provide a hands-on experience. We mm-hmm. teach people basic nutrition, how to shop, how to prepare wholesome food for themselves. We give people a powerful tool to manage their health, and how to look...
Yep, sorry. Didn't we do all this years ago? My parents knew how to shop. They knew how to cook.
Yes.
So we've got to re-educate people. That's what
right.
you're saying.
And as a nutritionist, I often run into limitation in my own profession, because I had that period of time with them for 1 hour when I counseled them, but I could not show them how to cook. I mm-hmm. could not show them where to shop and what to look at when you buy ingredients. And I think having a cooking school, it's just marvelous for us, because I can really go into gritty details mm-hmm. and change someone else's diet for better.
Now, do you find it a challenge living and working together in such a competitive environment where you're no doubt called on to teach but also perform? How do you combine the professional life with the personal life?
Well, not really. We complement each other.
Yes.
As we have very separate yet related roles, Walter mm-hmm. does the cooking and I focus mainly on nutrition and photography.
Mm-hmm.
Since we offer a very unique product, we don't really feel that we have many competitors out there.
Mm-hmm.
We wish there would be more, as this sort of service is very much needed in times of obesity, cancer, and cardiovascular issues, as well as food allergies.
Yes. Now, does humor play a part in what you do?
Humor, yeah, huge role. Do you want to answer that?
Yeah, hugely. Our cooking classes have elements of seriousness, and that's usually when we educate about foods or show important cooking steps. But generally, they are very relaxed, and there is always laughter and lots of fun. Our whole food philosophy is very much about enjoying the moment we live in and make the most out of each day.
Now, tell me, who goes to cooking schools like yours today? What's your demographic or common profile of those you teach?
That's a tricky question. Really, each class has its own unique following, and there might be a detox or a salad class full of females, and then there's a butchery class that suddenly we have main predominantly. Our students come from all age groups. We have lots of young people who want to cook for themselves, people with dairy requirements, moms who want to feed their babies, and we have as well some other people who just want to know how to cook specific things like fish or meat.
What about the over 50s?
Yes, as well as. So really, there is across all age groups. The common profile is that they all want to know more about the food, and they want to look after themselves in order to live a happy, long life. So
yep. Now, Walter, what makes your cooking school different? Because everybody needs a point of difference.
I think it's a combination of a really good chef with a good background, and then we have a nutritionist as well. Now, that combined with some really small student numbers.
What's your average class size?
It's 10 or 12? 9 people.
Nine people. Right.
And then the kitchen itself, I mean, we really thought about putting all the latest equipment in there so you can go in there, play around with it. And make a decision if you want to buy this or that, or if it's not necessary.
Yep.
Then we have, apart from the beautiful kitchen, which you can see on our website, we have an amazing dining room, and where we try to put the best crockery and the best glassware on the table. And then, of course, being located next to the Paran Market, we have lots of cheap parking and an amazing food market. That all really makes us different.
For those that can afford to shop at Paran. As much as I love Paran Market, I do most of my shopping when I go to the market at South Melbourne, because I find Paran a bit prohibitive. I know you're in a difficult position. You can't say much there, but...
That's it.
Yes. now, yes, you seem to have thought of everything. Teaching is one thing. Inspiring is yet another. What do you both intentionally, or do you both intentionally conspire to inspire?
What we feel like inspiration or inspiring comes almost natural when you talk about unprocessed whole foods.
Yep.
Look, my training is in traditional French, which very much focuses on leaving perfect food perfect and complementing them with a few other little perfect things, such as garnishes or sauces. Whole food nutrition, as shown in our book, Trap Whole Food Kitchen, has very much the same philosophy.
Yep.
So there's not too much done to food. It's just leave it as it is. You know, support it a bit here and there, and suddenly, you know, it becomes something really, really good. And focusing on the natural flavors, I think that is often forgotten these days, when we try to put too much salt or too much sugar, or often, you know, things like soy sauce or sesame oil. Our palate gets very addicted to those things.
Yes.
And we forget about the natural flavors of foods.
It's a long time since I attended any sort of cooking school. What impresses me is your use of technology. Your demonstration room is specially fitted with technology such as iPod docks and the widescreen LCD TV that enables your students to view what others are preparing and always have a front row seat. Technology is transforming the kitchen too, isn't it?
Yes, and tell me about it. We've decided to go that way in order to provide better service to people, and we've got about any gadget you can think of. And they are like adult toys, really. Look, mainly it's cooking, so it's a hands-on experience. It's not like we really need it, but we thought it's a good addition to our school. and yes, people appreciate
it. We all need gadgets, isn't it? It's a comment on the society we live in without gadgets.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, what's your favorite gadget, Dorota?
What would be my favorite? Well, because I do photography,
yeah.
Obviously camera, and yep. I can display my photos on, yep. on LCD screen while the cooking class is going. So that's a good way to show yes. your art.
Yes. Yes. And Walter, what's yours?
My favorite gadget is probably, what should I say? I'm a very bit old fashioned, you know.
He's not that much into gadgets.
You're not into gadgets.
I love my copper pans and cast iron pots.
Yep. Now, as your school grows and develops and ages, do you expect to see some of your graduates take up the challenge of replicating what you're doing?
I really hope so. I think this is one of the biggest compliments one can get. We would mm-hmm. love to see our students going out there and teach others about how to improve their lives and diets. Our book, Trap for Food Kitchen, will hopefully get a little bit of following, and we expect seeing some of the recipes we've created in organic cafes around Melbourne.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, look, I've not been to any of your classes. However, my wife, Amanda, having already cooked from your new book, I think it was the gnocchi with caramelised pumpkin and beetroot with some grated parmesan. I don't know whether it was Parmigiano Reggiano. She'd love to visit and cook at your school, and so would my daughter Maddie, who just loves cooking and is very practical. And may I also come along and get my hands dirty, especially when your guest Amelia is present?
I hope the gnocchi turned out well. Huh? yeah, as you said, we have a whole wide variety of classes to choose from, and it would be a pleasure to have you. Wife and daughter around, but with the wine classes, you know, wine is very much a whole food, and yep. it's a very exciting one indeed.
Yep.
So we are starting classes with Luke Campbell from Vinified.
Yes.
And do special wine or specific wine appreciation classes. Mm-hmm. We also did that in the past, and have just another one coming up, where we give students to bring their own wines, and often they show up with some really expensive wines. Then we design a menu around it.
Mm-hmm.
Cook specifically for those wines.
Then that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Then in the evening or Sunday lunches, we do that mainly on Saturday evenings or Sunday lunches. Then their friends or their partners come around,
mm-hmm.
and then we eat the cooked food up, and we match those wines and compare them with other wines. The great thing about it is, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you need to spend an absolute fortune.
Yes.
Where buying the wines yourself or having them in your cellar.
Yes.
Makes that whole experience much cheaper, and specifically cooking for those wines is another whole component of
yes.
know, getting the best out of them.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, you're associated with Shadowfax Winery, are you? Do you
yes.
have a sommelier from there?
Apart from them being very good wines, there's a bit yep. of a history involved,
yep.
which goes back to my days at Langton's.
Oh, yes.
It is more friendship between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Shadowfax belongs to Mark Robertson and Stuart Langton's, and mm-hmm. both of them love wines. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you heard of Langton's wine auction.
Mm-hmm.
Shadowfax also belongs to Mark and Stuart, and since they were my employers at Langton's, we share a long friendship.
Sense.
Yeah, we
mm-hmm.
share a long friendship since those mm-hmm. days, and I thought it's a nice idea to put them into our cooking school.
Good. Now, tell us, what classes are planned for this year? What's coming up? I believe one of your classes is called a Chef's Essential. What's on the menu?
Well, yes, we have lots of new things. Obviously, with the launch of the book, we've put a lot of new classes that are related to fall foods and health foods. And then we have as well Chef Essentials course that is, it's more specific about food. I think Walter can talk about that course.
Yeah, look, the Chef Essential is something which really teaches you about, if you just want to learn about fish.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to the market, you learn how to shop for fish, you talk to the fishmongers, you hear everything about, you know, their background and what they can tell you about fish. Then we go to the kitchen, fillet the fish, cut mm-hmm. it up, and then cook it in every possible way.
That's why we still have fish, because fish yeah. is a rapidly diminishing resource, and a lot of fisheries worldwide are being overfished.
Yeah.
And same here. Yes.
It is very interesting how many boats they cut down in the last couple mm-hmm. of years in Australia.
Hmm.
And worldwide as well, but it is we are very lucky these days to still eat fish.
Hmm. Oh, I love, I had some cuttlefish last, and I love scallops, except the Tasmanian scallops had a disastrous season, and a lot of them are now frozen and coming from...
Yeah, you have to be careful with imported fish, but we talk a lot about that in our Trap Horsefood kitchen, what the problem can be with imported fish and overly farmed fish.
Now, Walter Dorota, in an era of convenience and fast, highly processed, nutritionally devoid food, where few people seem to have time to pause and stop and say hello in the street these days, let alone stop and eat and enjoy, isn't there a delicious irony in trying to teach people about the benefits of whole food, good nutrition and balanced and healthy lifestyle?
Yes, it is.
Do you find that challenging at times?
Yes and no, because I think people who come to us already are... they're already prepared because they can see our website and that we get the right clientele. What I can say, Rudolf Steiner, the founder of biodynamic farming, used to say, no matter how evil or wicked person, deep inside, we all have a very good heart and want the best for each other. With foods, it is the same. We all crave healthy, good foods, and we all want them, no matter how bad our diet is. Today, there are not many people left in this world who do not acknowledge, really, that processed foods sends you sooner or later into hospital. So why not start today and buy our cookbook and improve your life in a most affordable and delicious way?
Yes, prevention is better than, I take your point. Now, there's the contentious, well, that's if you can get into a hospital these days and afford private health. I mean, a lot of people can't. And the hospital system is a bit ground down, but anyway, we won't go there. What do you see as the long-term benefits of organic or biodynamic foods, and how can such foods be made more affordable to everyday consumers?
Well, they are, as it turns out, they are actually cheaper in the long term. If you look at the hidden costs of conventional farming,
yes,
organic or biodynamic farming methods create up to 60% less greenhouse gases than conventional farming methods. Now imagine what that would do to the carbon tax. Then there's the emerging problem of collapsed soils, landfills, which all have to be financed by our tax money.
Mm-hmm.
And organic, specifically biodynamic farming methods, they use much less water,
mm-hmm.
Which in that case of the Murray River Basin could be a real solution for both for the farmers and for the river.
But do you think there's a common understanding when people use the term natural, and I know this is about natural wines or organic or biodynamic, is there a common understanding or appreciation of these terms, and are the standards applied to different farms for these? And look, what are the standards?
If you specifically talk about wines, you know, most wines, especially I think in France and Bordeaux, 80% of the wines are actually grown biodynamic. They're just not labeled as such,
mm-hmm.
because they find, you know, biodynamic roots. They go much deeper into the soil, and therefore access much more nutrients. They need much less water. Mm-hmm. So a lot of farmers, like I think Penfolds, for example, or Shadowfax, they grow most of the grapes biodynamic these days without telling us.
Mm-hmm.
It always has to be, when you see here natural or, you know, organic, you always have to specify, is it certified organic or is it organic?
Mm-hmm.
Certified organic means there's a body who controls it, which is very much like a bit like a police raid. They can come in into your farm and go through everything in a matter of minutes, where organic could be anything.
Yep. Now tell me, what's given rise to this obsessive food fatty focus and preoccupation with the proliferation of TV and reality TV food shows? I mean, there's MasterChef, there's My Kitchen Rules. Everybody's talking about, you can't go out in the street and you bump into a failed MasterChef contestant or a sommelier or, you know. What's caused this?
Look, I think it's a very interesting question, and I think it's entertainment.
Which
has a cooking component.
Yeah.
I always find it's a bit like today's version of Big Brother. It just could be like any other topic, like fashion, dancing, music. I think the food education is not the main focus of those programs. It's more to entertain people. But look, it brings awareness. don't know how much awareness it brings about real cooking or healthy eating.
Yep.
It definitely brings awareness to people, there's no question.
Now, one of the challenges for getting people to eat whole foods is to change their buying habits. Now, that's very difficult, to change habits. When you're buying something new, it's sort of exciting. But to ingrain that in your everyday thinking and everyday life, that's a completely different challenge. And there are a lot of people who, you know, with families who say, I can't afford these whole foods, biodynamic foods. I know they are good for me, but I've got to feed a family. Now, how somewhere, you know, is this a long-term campaign or of education?
It is. Mm-hmm. I think it takes a time to change and adjust. And you can prepare yourself for that slowly.
Yes.
You know, just changing your habits instead of going to supermarket, try to go to markets and buy fresh produce. And once you start doing that, you're going to see that, you know, it was actually a wonderful trip when you were on outside rather than inside. And you had a pleasant experiences. And I think, you know, it's just taking it from there. Organic food, not necessarily, is much more costly. Mm. When you buy in season, the food is very often the same price or even cheaper. And that's what we've experienced. The cost of organic food in our household is about 20%. We found it's about 20%. We spend 20% more than we used to after switching. And then, you know, you just plan how you shop. And
Thank you. Look, I'm sorry to cut you off. Almost through the program, and we haven't even, you know, we've just skated across the surface. Look, please do come back, you two, and enlighten us, because you've got so much to say on so many issues that are relevant. Thank you very much, Walter.
Thank you, Michael, for having us.
It's been a pleasure, and can't wait to have you back. Thank you for sharing your time with us tonight. Well, that's your lot for tonight. Tonight's material was sourced from tropcookingschool.com. and childobesity.info. You are listening to Table Talk on Vision Australia Radio with me, Michael Hintz. I'll be back shortly with Heard It Through the Grapevine.